Yesterday, Aoife Bennett from Naas in County Kildare settled her action for damages in the High Court. Her case was that she developed the sleep disorder narcolepsy after receiving the swine flu vaccine Pandemrix 10 years ago when she was 16. The case was settled with no admission or finding of liability. Aoife Bennett is on the line now. Good morning to you, Aoife.
Good morning, Sean. How are things?
Very well for me. Now, I'd imagine the end of this case must have come as something of a relief to you. How are you feeling today?
Great, yeah. It's very strange just being at home and not having to get up and go into court. Yeah, I don't know what to do with myself.
Yes, because it was quite a long case and it was expected to go on for maybe the same length of time again. 21 days of hearing in the High Court.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I don't know how we did it. It's all a bit of a blur really now, but at the time it was really drawn out, and I'm glad now that there's no more days.
Yes, and I know that the details of the settlement haven't been disclosed, but Aoife, are you yourself satisfied with the outcome?
I am, yeah, I am. I mean, I didn't really know what to expect going in. Really what we wanted was just that I'd have enough supports to live my life, really. And that is what we got. So I am happy, and I'm very happy that it's over now and that it's not running on until after Christmas, because that would have been very tough.
And you and your parents were in the witness box, I think, for a total of 4 days. How did you find that experience?
Yeah, I mean, I got to watch my parents go ahead of me, and thank God for that, because we weren't expecting the level of questioning or cross-examination at all. Really, we thought that, you know, particularly for me, the plaintiff, that they take it easy on me, and, you know, they're not going to question you much, you just give your evidence. That wasn't the case. There was a very adversarial approach to it all, and I got quite a shock seeing my mom go first. I missed a lot of my dad's. I was very drowsy, but the parts I did see, it did definitely prepare me for when I went up, because I knew that there was such a fight in them, and, you know, that I just had to do what I had to do, really. And it was very tough to watch. I think it was actually tougher to watch than to be up myself, because when you're sitting there, you know, you want to just go up and help them. I definitely did. I definitely wanted to stand up and add in or and help. And it's very difficult when you're in that situation and you can do nothing.
And I think your lawyers pointed out at the start that this wasn't an anti-vaccine case. It was just about your particular circumstances. Your family is not anti-vaccine as such.
No, absolutely not. I mean, if we were, I mean, of course, I wouldn't have gotten this vaccine. So, no, definitely not. Obviously, we've an issue with this vaccine and the fact that it wasn't fully tested, which we didn't know at the time. But no, definitely not.
Sure.
In the general consensus.
I suppose the settlement was with the HSE and the minister. No admission of liability on the part of the manufacturers or the Health Products Regulatory Authority, formerly the Medicines Board. But look, take me back, if you would, please, Aoife, to the time when you got this vaccine. You were 16 years of age. What was your life like then?
I was 16. I was in fifth year. It would have been the December, so I guess I was almost 17. I would have been training a couple of times a week. One day, I even had 3 training sessions in the one day, if that gives you an idea. I had a very active life, very active social life. You know, school was no bother to me, and it just changed very drastically from there.
You had the vaccine, I think, was it in early December?
Yeah, it was the 10th of December.
And how did things unfold from there?
So it took about, I'd say, 2 weeks, for me to see any sort of a side effect. But the first day that I really noticed, I wouldn't even say I noticed, this was more in hindsight now, on the 23rd of December, I went in shopping with a friend into Dublin, and I walked her to Buzaris, and I was to walk back to the Halfpenny Bridge. I couldn't even get from Buzaris to Abbey Street, didn't know where I was. It took me an extra 2 to 3 hours to get home. I lied to my parents, and I said I was, you know, staying longer and going for a meal or something so I wouldn't worry them, but I just felt like I needed to lie down somewhere. I was completely disorientated. But the really obvious day was Christmas Day. You know, I love Christmas, and got up and got dressed, all the rest, and I found myself sneaking up the stairs to go to bed for the day, and I was, you know, I had to absolutely force myself to come down for the Christmas dinner, and after that I was up in bed all day, and I didn't know what was wrong. I was just absolutely exhausted, and the Christmas holidays kind of continue that way, really.
And how long did it take before, well, your parents must have noticed, I suppose, quite soon that you weren't your normal self. But how long did it take then for the diagnosis of narcolepsy to be made?
Well, it was March of 2011 when my mom actually saw an article in a paper, in a health section of a paper. And it was a young girl, and she was describing all of her symptoms and saying that she got narcolepsy from the swine flu vaccine. And when we read the article, everything in that article described what I had. And from there, we got a referral, I think from my GP, to Dr. Catherine Crowe, who is a neurologist in the Mater Private at the time. And we met her, and I got a sleep test done in the Mater Private overnight. And after that, it was confirmed. It was the end of April 2011. I was diagnosed that. So I was in fifth year. I would have been in sixth year, but I went a year back because we had a feeling that we wouldn't find out whatever it was. We wouldn't find out in time for me to be well enough to do my leaving cert.
And what kind of things were happening? I mean, were you collapsing, literally falling asleep on the spot in certain situations?
You say collapsing there. So there's another condition that I think about 25% of people with narcolepsy have, and it's called cataplexy, and it's the loss of muscle tone. So like, I guess the way we're all standing up and walking and talking, all our muscles are intact, and I guess when this happens, and it can happen at the slightest thing, they say shock or laughter, emotion, but even the very slightest little bit of emotion, some of your muscles just lose control. So my head could go, my neck could just fall, my voice box wouldn't work, my eyes might roll, my arms would just drop. I'd drop things a lot, my knees would buckle, and sometimes I'd fully collapse to the floor. The only way around it is, when I wasn't on medication, I kind of, you know, learned the tricks of the trade and had to learn to hold position and kind of clamber myself somehow onto a chair or onto the floor. It was very difficult, and it's even more difficult for someone to notice what's happening, even when you explain it really well to people. When you're there and you're stiff like a statue and you're hoping someone will cop, oh, this is what's happening, I need to take that thing out of her arm, out of her hands, and I need to get a chair. And because this, after a few seconds, if you don't have help like that sometimes, particularly in school when I'd pile of books in my hands, I would just drop to the floor, everything would you know, fall to the wayside. So, and of course it can be more dangerous when on a stairs or anything like that. So that's that part. In terms of the sleepiness, I was just very drowsy in general. I guess in class, I'd be kind of zoned out. I wouldn't even know. It'd be as if I was asleep. Sometimes I'd be asleep and the bell would ring. It could be a double class. And my friends would be like, come on, let's go. And I'm like, what are you talking about? We just sat down. And I know that a lot of teachers were very frustrated because, of course, I had no diagnosis. They didn't know what was wrong. I didn't know what was wrong. I couldn't give any explanation. It was very difficult because I had no explanation.
I presume, Aoife, that sport must have been pretty much out of the question then at that stage.
Yeah, well, I used to run a lot, and I played volleyball as well. And I mean, I did try to continue, but even something like, you know, with volleyball, a ball coming to you and your muscles just aren't intact. They're not working. Even the shock of the ball coming to you as such, and I could fall. It was nearly impossible. So I did have to give up volleyball during that time when I wasn't diagnosed, and I couldn't run at all. I mean, it was difficult even to walk.
So I'm wondering, Aoife, then, okay, you got the diagnosis after about 18 months or so. Presumably that allowed your specialist to prescribe medication that would help you deal with the narcolepsy. So how were things after that?
So I was prescribed medication. It was Provigil at first. And while it kept me awake, and at first, you know, it worked wonders because I was so used to going around like a slug or or a sloth, even like just being drained and trying so hard to do everything. So at first I thought this is great, so I had it for my summer. But as time went on, particularly when I got back to school in September, I was back to sixth year. My friends would have been in college at this stage that I would have been in school with. And I realised that I wasn't alert on it. You know, I didn't have the alertness to kind of sit in class, take things in. So I did have to change medication from there. So it's a bit of trial and error with medication. And over time, I've upped medication. I've gone on medication for the cataplexy as well. I wasn't always on medication as strong as I am now, and particularly in my undergrad years in college. My primary degree would be an arts degree, English and Irish, and even it was just like about a 14-hour week, and I found it really tough.
Is it the case that there is no cure?
It is, yeah. It is, as far as I know, that is the case. Yeah, it's just medication can alleviate the symptoms.
And what is your quality of life like now, Aoife?
It is up and down. You know, sometimes, you know, when I guess when I'm not as busy, like when it's maybe over the summer and I have time to myself, I'm definitely better because I don't have the pressure of doing a college course or trying to work or whatever it is. But the busier I am, I guess, the harder it is. So even, you know, having a job or in college, like I was doing a master's there for primary school teaching, and even like on placement or anything like that, it's tough for anyone, but for me it's really difficult, and you do have no life, and yeah, it's that's really it. The more energy I have to take care of myself, the better I am. And yeah, it's
so how do you view the prospects then of becoming a teacher? Do you think you'll be able for a full-time job if you get your master's, or might you have to settle for part-time work?
I mean, I always would have said, oh, you know, I'm not settling for part-time. I'm doing it. I'm going to teach. But realistically, I will have to job share. I can't see myself being able to live in any way a normal life while teaching full time. It's just not really an option for me.
And what about social life and that kind of thing? I mean, are you able to enjoy a night out? Are you doing any kind of sport now?
With one of the medications I'm taking at night time, I can't have alcohol at all. So I have to, I guess, pick and choose about 3 to 4 nights a year, like spreading them out kind of per season as such, so that it's not too much of an effect. If I was to, let's say, have 2 nights in, even in a month or less, I really notice a difference. And for the next month or two, it has a huge impact on me. It's just not worth it. So I don't really like socialise like at night much anymore. I do more things like during the day and that.
Yeah, and how much do you sleep now with all this combination of medication and the narcolepsy continuing?
So I'm on a medication at night time, and it gives me 5 hours of sleep. Sometimes it's even less than that. It can give people up to 8. I've never gotten that. So at the beginning of the night, I would sleep naturally for about an hour, and then I would take the medication so that I'm not awake too early. The problem is, if I wake too early, what can happen is I can fall back asleep and into hallucinations.
Now, we know that there are potentially up to another 100 cases that could follow on from yours. Do you think your outcome yesterday will make it easier for the other people, or what do you think, given, as we said, that there was no admission of liability?
I honestly don't know. I imagine that people will be disappointed at that, and of course we were too, but I just hope that the rest of the families won't have to go through what we had to go through in court. It was very difficult, very time consuming, draining your life on hold, and I just hope that that won't be the case for the rest of the family. So that's all I can say, really.
Yeah, and there are suggestions that there's a committee sitting on this at the moment, that perhaps the idea of a no-fault compensation scheme for people who suffer injury arising from vaccination, that that could be a good thing to introduce here?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that would be ideal. I mean, we were 7 years in legal proceedings, and I have to say, we would have never taken this route. We'd never wanted to take this route. We did. There was a committee set up called Sound. My parents would have been, along with a few other parents, would have sort of set up this committee. Sound, it stands for Sufferers of Unique Narcolepsy Disorder. And back in 2012, they would have met with the Department of Health, looked for these supports, and it seemed that it was going to happen, and it just didn't. I am really surprised, and I don't know how the minister has let this go on for so long, and how the Department of Health have let this go into the courts. I can't understand it myself.
Okay, Aoife, look, it's the end of a long battle. You're happy with the outcome. You sound like a really strong person, and thank you so much indeed for talking to us, and we wish you the very, very best with your future as a teacher and whatever else life brings. Aoife, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, John.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.